Spotty Date, the 208, Robbie Schmoe, Steinhardt.
Push it on there better because there's experience with it.
Okay.
Keep working the phone, mate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good morning, Rabbi Say. Parshas Vayigash. It's a bit challenging today to find some things that I didn't say last time. I know it was a few years ago, but at least not to repeat the entire shiur, even if I repeat some things. Okay. So we have a very dramatic event. Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, and the pasuk says, just before that, just prior to his revelation, it says, "V'lo yochel Yosef lisapik." He couldn't strengthen himself. L'chol amitzovim olav. So Rashi says that he couldn't contemplate the idea that there should be the Mitzrayim there, witnessing his brother's embarrassment, and his brothers find out that this is his brother, and what they've been doing to him would be too embarrassing. So he sent. The pasuk says, "Hitzir chol ishme aloi." Everyone out. The Medrash brings two opinions whether Yosef did a wise thing, whether he did the correct thing by sending everyone out. Reb Chama Bar Chanina said that Yosef did it incorrectly because, as we know, the Shivtei Kol were very strong physically and they could have killed him, they could have given him one kick and they could have got rid of him and he put himself into danger. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman says, no, he did the right thing. Because he, Yosef, understood the tzidkus of his brothers. He said he did not suspect them of Shvichas Domim. He had no reason to think that they were going to kill him. Reb Shmuel Ibn Diskin analyzes this medrash. According to the first day, according to Reb Chama Bar Chanina, that Yosef put himself into danger by exposing himself, by leaving himself alone, without any bodyguards, without any protection, why, Taka, did he do it? Why did he do that? Why did he risk his life? So he says, we know famously the sources from the story in Parshas Vayeshev of Tomor, Mutov Shiyapil Odom Es Atzma L'Tzerich Kivshon HaEsh. It's better for a person to throw himself into a fiery furnace rather than to embarrass someone else, Levayesh someone else, Barabim. And Yosef made a cheshbon. He said, it's true that I'm risking my life, but on the other hand, if I leave the Mitzrayim here, they're going to be embarrassed. And we know that it's better to risk one's life than to embarrass another Yid. So he was prepared to put himself into that situation. Then you have the other opinion. The Shmuel Bar Nachman says that he didn't suspect them of Shvichas Domim. And that's very difficult to understand, because we know very well that they did plan to kill him. And there actually is a medrash, I don't know if he's taken that into account, there is a medrash that when he revealed himself to them, they did want to kill him. But why did they not chashudim? Why should they not be chashudim? They certainly were, they did want to kill him. So what does it mean? So the Rabbi Shua Leib says, so you say they agree, okay. Kenza, say okay. Okay. So he says that, famously, the Pasuk says, Mishle, Kamayim aponim laponim, kein neve odom laodom. A person's feelings to another person are usually mutual. If a person has positive feelings towards someone else, then they have positive feelings back, and the converse is true as well. And he knew that he had no hatred towards his brothers, so he was confident that they had no hatred towards him. So he felt secure that they weren't going to do any harm to him. They weren't going to kill him. So very interesting. We don't usually have to make a decision between the two opinions in a medrash. But the Sholev says, how could we work out which one was the truth? It's a bit of a hard way of saying it because we know that even though we can't always understand how to reconcile things. But he said that's a very interesting thing. He said he had a way to ensure not to put himself into danger and at the same time not to embarrass his brothers. Very simple solution. The Mitzrayim didn't speak Lashon HaKodesh. And Yosef did. Yosef could have spoken to them Lashon HaKodesh. They would have understood exactly what's going on. He would have been safe because he had all the Mitzrayim there to protect him. And everything would have been fine. So why didn't he do that? Why did he send out the Mitzrayim? He could have left them there and spoken to them Lashon HaKodesh. So the pshat is, he said that he obviously was so confident that there was no danger, that he saw no need to do that. So he may as well send them out. Let be more protective of his brother's honor. Send the Mitzrayim out. He wasn't concerned about that. So with this, says Rabbi Shalib, you can explain the psukim a bit later on. The psukim in Pasuk Yud Beis, capital Mem Hei, Pasuk Yud Beis. The Pasuk says as follows, he's speaking to his brothers, and he's saying to them as follows, your eyes can see, and the eyes of my brother Binyamin, that it is my mouth which is speaking to you. Says Rashi, the second part of Rashi, I'm speaking to you in Lashon HaKodesh. I.e., he's trying to say, I'm speaking to Lashon HaKodesh, and therefore what? What's he trying to prove? And carry on. Ve'eni ochi v'nyomin, hishva es kulam yochad. He made them all equal. Shekshem she'eni sinah b'nyomin ochi, just like I have no hatred against my brother b'nyomin, sharei leher b'mchirosi, he wasn't there when I was sold. Kach ein b'libi sinah aleichem, also have no hatred towards you. So the connection between the two Rashi seems to be a bit hard to understand. No, it goes together. I'm speaking to Lashon HaKodesh. So I have an etza, I have a solution. I didn't need to send out the Mitzrayim. I could have left them here to protect me. Must be that it's a proof that I have no sin against you. And if I don't have a sin against you, you don't have a sin against me, and everything's fine. There's nothing to worry about. And that's the connection between the two parts of the Rashi. And he adds on, that you mentioned before, Reb David, that the Taka said in the Kates, they admitted Avor Hashem Manachna Alachinu, they regretted the Mechira according to the simple Pshat in the Pasuk. And it even says that Yosef was listening and said, Vayisov me'alehim vayev, he turned away and he cried because he felt, he saw that they had put aside the sinner, they loved him now, they didn't have anything against him. So he also cried, he felt for them. But they weren't aware of this. So he said to them, Kifiyah medaba aleichem, Lashon HaKodesh. You think I didn't understand? I know it's Kiyamel. Then it was Kiyamel, it's Beinoisom, pretending as if I didn't understand, but I did understand. So I'm fully aware that you've put the past behind and you've now got positive feelings. And over Zoe, I don't need to worry. And there's Av of Achva between them. In Kapitel Mem Hei, Pasuk Yud Dalet talks about Yosef and Binyamin specifically. He fell on the neck of Binyamin, his brother, and he cried. And Binyamin cried on his neck. So Rashi tells us what was the crying all about. So the crying on Binyamin was because the Beis HaMikdosh, both Bate Mikdosh, would be built in the Chelek of Binyamin, and they were going to be destroyed. So Yosef was crying on the future churban of the Bate Mikdoshes. And Binyamin cried because of Mishkan Shiloh, which is going to be built in the Chelek of Yosef, and that's going to be destroyed, so they cried about that. So, Rav Dov Shtembuch, Zech Tzadik Levracha, Sefer Imre Dvash, asks, now is a very, very joyous time when the brothers have reunited. It's a time of Achdus, all come together. Why Dafka now is it the time to cry about the Churban which is going to happen thousands of years later, long time in the future? Why now is the time to cry about this? Well, now should be a happy time. Even if they did see it, but so what? Why do they need to think about that now? What's the crying now at the time of the reunion? So he says, the whole... I didn't check it up exactly, so I don't know exactly how this will mean. Maybe somebody here can explain. So the whole tachlis of the dreams was in order, the kiyum of the dreams was to be mesaken the sinas chinom which they had towards him. Sorry? The obviously we're talking about the Shiftei Kol. We can't talk about it in simple terms, but they had a hatred towards him, and the tachlis of the Kiyum HaChalomus was in order to be misaken it. But Yosef could see that they hadn't been fully corrected, hadn't been fully fixed. And the proof of that is that there was a Churban Beis HaMikdash. Churban Beis HaMikdash was because of Sinas Chinon. And that's what they were crying about. They were crying, they could see that this pagam, this lack of achdus between them still remained to some degree. And that's what they were crying about. Sorry? Right. Oh, so it hadn't been fixed yet. Very good. Very good. Very good. Right. Right. So the question it remains, though, where do you see in the Pasuk anything to the Beit HaMikdash? Chazal tell us this, but it's a Gemara, I think. But where does he in the Pasuk? So he says that we find a number of times in Pesukim that the Beit HaMikdash is referred to as a tzavo, as a neck. Pesukim she'ashirim k'migdal David tzavorich. And the Gemara tells us in Zvachim that when David HaMelech wanted to build the Beit HaMikdash, Hashem, Chacham told him that they should put it not the highest point, slightly lower. Rashi brings in this abrocha. The most beautiful place is the shoulders. That's where the neck is. So the neck represents the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why Vayipal al Tzavri Vinyamin Achiv, he cried about the Tzavorim, about the neck, about the Beis HaMikdash, and Vinyamin as well, on Yosef. Why is it called the neck? It's very interesting. The Gaon Asher HaShirim says that in the neck are the two important pipes which give a person life, is the air pipe and the food pipe. So the Beis HaMikdash is the source of life for Klal Yisrael. That's where everything comes from. Everything comes through the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, our life was cut off to a large degree. The Mishnah says in the Soto that even though the physical hatzlocha of the world isn't the same as it was when in the Zman Beis HaMikdash. So that's represented by the tzavah, by the neck, and that's what was being alluded to over here. I don't know. It's a good question. I have to be ma'ayin more. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Even the first Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Shvichas Domim, I suppose, is not so distant from. But the Chazal don't use the expression Sinas Chinam about. Yeah, so yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And furthermore, he brings from the Shem and Shmuel that the person's head is the person's brain is the place where the seichel is for the logic. And then you've got that's the ruchnistic part of the person, and then the rest of the body is the physical parts of the body. So the Beis HaMikdash is a connection between the ruchnis and the gashmis, the olam abo, olam elyon, olam hazeh. It's the connecting place. I'm just thinking now, because I'll tell us that Beis HaMikdash shalemal and mukuvim can Beis HaMikdash shalemal. It's a conduit for the Hashpah to come down, and there's a connection between us and the Rein Shel Olam. So that's all represented by the Tzavor, and that's what they were crying about. Kapitel Mem Vov, Posuk Gimel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to Yaakov Avinu when Yaakov was about to go down to Mitzrayim. Vayomer Anochi Hokel Elokei Avicha. I am the God of your father. Al tiro meirdom Mitzrayim. Don't be afraid to go down to Mitzrayim. Ki rigoy godel asim uchosham. I will make you into a great nation there. The Sforno says, what's the connection? Anochi hokei lelekei avicha. Why is that relevant, that he's the God of your father, about going down to Mitzrayim? So he says, Poshup Shat, I told Yitzchok, your father, not to go down to Mitzrayim, but you, do not be afraid, you should go down to Mitzrayim. I'm telling you, you should. He wasn't meant to go, you are meant to go. What's the continuation? Ki rigoy godel asim chosham. Very interesting, very interesting. He says, if the Shiftei Kol and Klal Yisrael, the future generations, would have remained in Canaan, then they would have been at risk of blending in with the Canaanim, being influenced by them, marrying into them, and they would have lost their Madriga. So they had to go down to Mitzrayim, which was a far worse place, and precisely because it was so bad, they were segregated. The Shiftei Kor, Klal Yisrael, could understand that, no, we're not part of them, we can't have a kashaychus with them. I'm just thinking now, as we're talking, that that's, throughout the generations, always been like that. The more low class the goyim, the easier it is for us to be disconnected from them. When we look at the goyim as they're not so bad, then it's much harder, and we have to be more on guard not to mingle with them. And so he's saying that Dafka they went to Mitzrayim, and the Mitzrayim themselves they rejected. We learned in Parashas Miketz, Kilo Yuchlan Mitzrayim Lechel Sevim Lechem. And we say, my God, the Vayisham Legoi, Klais or Mutsiyonim, which means they're separate. That's what we needed to have. So, Kilegoi God, Asim Choshon, Dafke Mitzrayim, that's how I'm going to make you into a great nation, because that's where you'll be able to be separated and apart from the Goyim, and there you'll be able to become a great nation. Yeah, it's a big sugya. So.
It's Madoik in the Poskin Afraim, as we're saying. Kamasa Eretz Mitzrayim, as Shiachim Balosa Asu. Kamasa Eretz Canaan. So it's like Mitzrayim and Canaan together.
They're both.
Right. So that's the shaykhs of the two, wired up, Mitzrayim and Canaan. Because they've gone from Canaan to Mitzrayim.
Right. Right. So the next pasuk says, "Anuchi eridim chom Mitzrayim, va'anuchi alcho gam oloi." I will bring you up, gam oloi. It's a bit repetitive. So Sforno says, "Achar she'alcho v'itziyachom mishom." After I will remove you from there. So he's touching gam oloi. You mishom toisiv malu. You will go up in madrega al mashahoyo lecha koydem ridu techoshom. Klal Yisrael, Ben Shalom was promising Yaakov Avinu that when your descendants will come out of Mitzrayim, you'll actually go up to a higher madriga. You've got the Torah, you can come to Eretz Yisrael, you're on a higher madriga. So I once heard from one of my chaverim, B'Shem Reb Moshe Shapiro, Zechutat Livracha, that the two things are connected. It's dafka because Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, and they fought against the negative hashpos and the low madrigas of Mitzrayim. That's what propelled them to a higher madriga when they left. He said the difference between the goyim, they have atzlocha. Okay, this is more than the physical sense. They go higher and higher and higher. But klaus or faket, is when we go to the lowest level and we bring ourselves out of it, we come to a much higher madriga. And that's because klaus went to Mitzrayim, they were exposed to such sorrows, and they fought against the tumas Mitzrayim to the degree that they could, and then. When they came out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them up to the high madriga, and that's always something which Klal Yisrael on a national level and on a personal level. If a person goes through difficulties and he is misgaber, then he can rise to a much higher madriga afterwards. In Kapitel Memvo, Posuk Zayin tells us that Yaakov took his whole family, Bonov. He took his children, Uvnei Vonov, and his sons, and his sons, we have Pasuk Zayin. Bonov Uvnei Vonov, he took his sons, and his sons with him. Benoisov, his daughters of Nois Bonov, and the daughters of his sons, Vecholzar, and all his children, Hevi Yitim, Ito Mitzrayim. So Rechaim HaKadosh asks, he says Vecholzaroi, means all his children. So why do you need to go into details? Bonov Uvnei Vonov, just say, he said Cholzaroi, he already includes everybody. And secondly, if you look at the pasuk, Bonov of Nivonov, Itoi, Benois of Nois, Bonov of Chozari, what's the Itoi doing in the middle? So Bonov of Nivonov, Itoi, with him, Benois of Nois, Bonov of Chozari, Hevi Itoi Mitzrayim. What's going on here? Could you just said, if you want to say Bonov of Nivonov, say it, but Hevi Itoi should include everybody. So the Chaim HaKadosh brings out a very interesting Yisoid. So there were two approaches to going down to Mitzrayim. There were those who approached the whole idea of going down to Mitzrayim. The Makabal, the Ben Shalom, said, we have to go. We're not going to question it. We're just going to do what we have to do. We accept it. Makabal, Gzeres Shamayim, Ba'avo. And that's the end of the story. The others, who were quite reluctant to do so, and they had to be forced to go along with it. So he says that Bonov of Nevonov, I don't know where this difference comes, this split comes from, but he's saying that Bonov of Nevonov, his Yaakov and his sons, and the sons of his sons, Itoy, they were with him. They were fully with him. They went with him, the Mekabel Gzeiras Shamayim Ba'avo, and they said they'll go. But Bonov of Nois Bonov, V'chol Zaroi, that was heavy Itoy. He had to bring them, he had to coerce them to come with him. There's a difference. Some went Itoy, they just went along with him on their own, of their own accord, and the others, heavy Itoy, had to bring them. So now, he says a very, very moody gazach. He says, Chazal, we know that kol zman she'echod miyode Mitzrayim kayom, as long as anyone who descended to Mitzrayim was still alive, the shibbo didn't start. So he said, that's mamash, it's yes, he brings a gemara, I think it's in Brochus, he's samod yisuri kibuli, the medicine, if you like, of Yisurim is to accept it. If a person accepts Yisurim, a person says, doesn't reject it, doesn't try and fight back, he says, Ebrein Shem, you sent me Yisurim, I accept it. That is what is a sgula, it gives a person a bracha. So those who accepted the Din Shamayim, he said, we have to go to Mitzrayim, we're going to go, we'll accept it, they were zeicha that the shibbo didn't start. Whereas, Serach Bas Osher and Yecheved, they were included in the Benois Bonov. They didn't do willingly, they didn't accept it willingly, they were still alive when the Shibud started. So the Shibud held back, as long as those who accepted it Berotzen didn't have to suffer the Shibud, but those who went reluctantly, against their will, they already did. And this is he brings Isaiah, which I didn't check up, but he says that this is a Gewaldige Yisoid for us, that things get thrown our way and it's hard sometimes. If we accept it, we have to know if we accept it, then that is a fakir. That gives a person a zchus and gives a person the ability to survive it. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu has more rachmonos and the person accepts it. So it's kedai anyway, because it's not as if you're going to not get it. It's not going to help to reject it. And fakir, if you accept it, ba'avo, of course it's not easy, but that's what's going to bring a person brocha and atzlocha. So he's saying that she's not included in the Yodim Mitzrayim, which were. He says clearly, Sarach Bas Osher is one of those. It started in her time. She, as you say, he says Yecheved, and because he splits it. Bonov of Nebonov went Itoy. They went willingly, and those are the ones for whom the Shibud waited. Once they were nifted, then the Shibud started, despite the fact that there were others, but the others who didn't go willingly. Apparently didn't go willingly, and therefore the Shibud did start, even though she was still alive. That's what he's saying. Yeah. That's what Aruch Haim Kodesh is saying. You can ask him Aruch Haim Kodesh, but that's what he's saying. He addresses that point.
The Shibud didn't start before the B'nai Bonov, necessarily. The Shibud didn't start
Yes. That's a good...
Okay.
Because if she wasn't B'nai Bonov, she's B'nois Bonov. That's why.
And then also the second part are that's why the Noshim was Zeta to go into Eretz Yisrael, because they were so reluctant to go down in the first place. All the ladies were Zeta to go to Eretz Yisrael, right?
Yeah.
The whole Shibud. So they were like, Hakula didn't even want to go down. So that's why it was Kehila, they never went down and they came back again.
That's your pshat.
What?
You're saying that?
I heard that.
Okay. Then Pasuk in Kapitel Memvov, Pasuk Chof Ches. Ves Yehuda Sholach Lefonov El Yosef, Lehoiris Lefonov Goishno. Yaakov Inu sent Yehuda ahead El Yosef, Lehoiris Lefonov Goishno. So what does Lehoiris mean? So Rashi brings to Pshatin, comes from the Medrash. One is that he sent him to establish places to live, and the other pshat is to make a base of medrash. Now the medrash says like this: Lahaskin le beis vad sheyemoyre boi devri toyro, the place where he can teach toyro, v'sheyashvotim leinden boi. Teida lecho shehu kein. I prove to you that this is so. What? That what's so? That Yaakov even had the base of medrash. When Yosef left, then he knew, they remembered which, what Yaakov Avinu remembered what they were learning together. When Achi Yosef came along and said, Oid Yosef Chai, possibly Vayofog Liba we had earlier. He didn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. And Yaakov Avinu said, I remember what we were learning. If you know what he was learning, if Yosef gave over the message, what he was learning, then I'll believe you. Amutaka, he sent Agolois, Rashi tells us, as he was as a remez, they were learning Egla Arufa. Ah, then Vatchiruach Yaakovim, the Yaakovim Utaka believed it. And then the Medrash Fizo is, Lelamedcho, Shebechol Mokim, Shehu Yaakov Yosef, Hoy Oisik Ba Toiro, Kshem Shehu Yavoisa. Wherever Yaakov was living, he was Oisik from Toiro. What's the connection between two things? One thing is that they made a bit of Medrash. The other thing is that Yosef remembered what they were learning. What's the Shaychas between the two things? Now that kasha is my own kasha. I think perhaps I want to quote the shtick from Neve Lior, but it could be he was trying to fend for that, although he doesn't spell it out so clearly. He asks another question. When Shiv Tiko are talking to Yaakov Avinu and they're saying Oid Yosef Chai, they meant he's physically alive, or did they mean that he's spiritually alive? Surely if they're talking, they shift their car, talking Lashon Torah, they meant spiritually. If they said Yosef Chai, it doesn't just mean that he's physically there and he's, who knows what he's getting up to. He's taka on the Madrega, he's learning Torah, he's keeping mitzvahs, he's Kodesh. What was the question, Michlal? But the Zotar Belia, the Yaakov Avinu hears that Yosef Chai, very nice. V'chihu Moshe b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. He's ruler in Eretz Mitzrayim, Erva Sa'oretz, Atome place. The two things don't match up. It can't be. Something's wrong. It can't be a Moshe in Eretz Mitzrayim and also be Chai. But there's one solution. If he's living a life of Torah, not just Kodesh, but he's actually living a life of Torah, he's living Torah, he's a Chaim Shel Torah, that could be. Then it's possible. So he said, well, what's prime in his mind? What's the most important thing in his mind? What's he focusing on? If his association and his memories of me is Torah, then he's like a living Torah. Ah, so in that case, it's possible. So the Rebbe brings out that Olam Hazeh, we know the mission says Olam Hazeh is a proizdo, is a corridor, an antechamber, and Olam Habo is a teraklin. What does that represent? That means if you're designing a house, you're not going to make a most beautiful lobby and then have a main room which is in shambles. You're going to make sure that the ikkah is the ikkah and the tofel is the tofel. What's important is the main room, and the antechamber is there to lead up to it. So if a person has to realize that Olam Hazeh is only the proizdo, it's not the ikkah. Olam Habo, that's the ikkah. A person's life has to be focused on what's really important. So when he saw that Yosef was thinking about Torah, that's what his association 22 years later was Torah, exactly what they were learning. Ah, then it's possible. Then it's possible that Yosef is Taka, right? And that ties up with what Yaakov Avinu's whole life was Torah. I think that's the connection between two parts of the Medrash, that the Yaakov Avinu, wherever he went, he had a yeshiva, his focus was Torah, and that's what he's looking for. Is Yosef living like that? Is Yosef focusing on Torah? Is that what's going on in his life? Then it could be that even though he's Moshe b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, it's still possible that he's Kodesh for Torah.
Maybe he's got a good memory. He remembers what he learned 22 years ago. He's got Raya, lived
in Torah. You remember what's important.
The Kodesh doesn't mean these are Kodesh. The Kodesh is the Kodesh from the Mishnah.
That's not Rashi.
I know.
Okay.
Now I can understand, because
possibly he remembered. If you ask him, start dredging up his memories. If that's what first thing that came to mind, that's what in the forefront of his mind, that's what he's thinking about, then you don't remember what car drove past the shore when you came in this morning, because that wasn't important. Right? Yeah, that's what was important in his mind. I was going to say, I want to connect a couple of things to that. It's your dua. I just punk read it this week, but it's your dua. His only memory, he davened that he shouldn't remember anything besides for Torah. And the people who he spoke to the whole time, if he didn't have a Torah shaykhus, he didn't know the names of the streets, Gornish. But if it was Torah, if he saw somebody, he remembered him by the Torah that he discussed with him. He didn't have any shaykhus to anything else, just Torah. And I once heard, most of us are noyik to say at the end of Shemayin Esra, a posuk. with our name. Why? Because it comes to the Yom HaDin, a person might forget his name. And in order to remember one's name, whatever, why that's important, I don't know, but you have to have a posuk. Well, the posuk you remember and the name you won't? Yeah, because if it's Torah, then you remember. The posuk you remember. A name you might forget. You might forget your name. You've been taught hundreds of thousands of times during the course of your life and called by your name. You won't remember that. But posuk is Torah, that's something which remains with the person. Okay. Shabbos.
What's your name? Fred. Yeah, let's go. What's your name?